Hello and welcome to the Man Panel. This is year two of this event to give you important insights into the hearts and minds of men. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so excited that you're here. And I'm so excited to welcome back a returning guest. He's back by popular demand, and that is Hunt Etheridge. Welcome, Hunt.
Hello, thank you. It's great to be back again.
We're so happy to have you back.
Thank you.
And before we get started, I know many of the ladies here may be familiar with you and your work, but we'll do just a bit of a formal introduction before we have what I know is going to be a very fun and juicy conversation today. So Hunt Etheridge is an award-winning dating and relationship expert with over a decade of experience helping people become the best, most dateable versions of themselves. While the focus of his coaching is on making someone empirically more dateable, the lessons learned translate very easily into personal and professional lives. The emphasis is on confidence building, leadership, image and style, conversation skills, reconnecting with fun, and more. He has founded three dating companies, including the International Dating Coach Association, which serves to educate and certify dating coaches and has members all across the globe. He's been featured collectively and individually on CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox, Vanity Fair, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, The New York Post, Maxim, The Huffington Post, Telemundo, Yahoo.
Yeah, I need to shorten that list, I think, now these days.
That's a nice list. He's considered one of the top in his field and is consistently called upon for insight, collaboration, and speaking engagements. As a prolific writer, he has over 100 dating articles all over the web and was recently voted the number one male dating expert in the country at the 2016 U.S. Dating Awards. And to read his advice and articles, you can go to huntforadvice.com. So welcome, Hunt. And just one thing I want all of you ladies to know, Hunt is expecting a new baby girl. So happy to have you, and thanks for squeezing us in this very busy personal time.
Thank you so much. It's it is an exciting time. I'm glad that I can talk to you a little bit before the storm comes. I'm very excited to have a little daughter, and all of these type of dating and relationship discussions always bring it more home when you know that this is going to impact your own daughter at some point as well too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that is something you're acutely aware of, thinking about her arrival.
Yeah.
So first of all, Hunt, tell us just a little bit more about yourself personally and how you made it into this realm of giving love, dating, and relationship advice. I'm just curious how you made this journey.
Yeah, I end up at this place. I guess I had always enjoyed people. I'm a very people person, a lot of energy. It was helpful, I guess, that half of people happen to be members of the opposite sex. But I didn't really think anything of it too much. I dated successfully and had fun until about a dozen years ago when my therapist told me, the men that come in here are broken and I can fix them. But the thing they want the most is to have a woman at their side, and that's something I cannot handle. She said, you know more about this than anybody I've ever met. You need to figure out a way to monetize this. And the minute you do, I refer all of my patients to you. So that was, you know, three kind of resounding slaps on the back. It still makes me wonder what we had talked about that made her come to this conclusion. But that's what at least spurred me to start the research. Is there a need of this? Do I know more about it than other people? Is there a way to teach it? Can you break it down? How do you focus on different areas? What was I actually doing, et cetera? And it was really interesting to kind of come at something in a sort of scientific manner that you've done without thinking consciously about it. So it was really an interesting progression. And then I started my own company called Hunt for Advice, which is still the repository of my website and my company now. I did that for a couple of years. And then New York Dating Coach, which was the oldest and largest dating coaching firm in New York City, grabbed me to be their head coach. And I worked there for many years. We founded a couple of companies there, continued to write, had my own private clients as well. And, you know, basically have just tried over the years to figure out how to reach the most amount of people, how to help the most amount of people. And I'm constantly learning, you know, that I'm married and there are times when I do something and I'm like, oh, that would be a good point. I should figure out how to teach that. Or likewise, I'll be talking about something to someone and my wife's there and she's like, wait a minute, were you testing something on me? Like, what? No, not at all. So it's something that continues to play a part on a daily basis in my life and relationships as well. So I'm really glad that kind of had that impetus to get into this, because I think not only is it helpful to teach more people, but it's been helpful for me to learn the intricacies of emotional intelligence and human communication.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I think those of us that feel called to teach, we have to always continue to be students and to continue to be learning. I know that being in this industry has benefited me a great deal in my now almost 11-year marriage as well. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And yes, my husband has been the guinea pig for testing a few theories on as well.
Yep.
So Hunt, we're talking to women today, single women mainly, and many of them would really like to have a successful, loving, committed relationship with a man. Many have been through disappointment, heartache, divorce, a lot of ups and downs in their love lives. So I would like to just hear from you some of the key challenges that you see women facing out there, because our audience is mainly women, and also some of the key areas that you find that you give advice or support in that you think might be helpful to this audience. I know that's a broad question. You can take it where you'd like.
That's fine. That's great. It's a lot to dive into. So, and like you said, we'll see where tangentially we'll end up. I just kind of answered this question. So in a way, so I'm going to start with there is someone asked me, how do you find your dream partner? Great question. Because as you know, someone in the teaching, there's a lot to unpack within that simple phrase. What are your expectations? Are your expectations realistic? How do you know what you need versus what you want? How do you define what your dream is? You know, all of these things aside from that. But the one thing that always gets me is that a lot of times people will look at other areas of their life, like work, for instance, and they say, if I ask you, how do you get your dream job? Well, you basically work your ass off to get it. Nobody comes and kind of plucks you out of obscurity because they see you as this special thing. Not saying that you're not special, but you have to prove to people over and over again sometimes how good you are, what a good fit you are for this as well too. But then sort of not translate that same mentality or outlook into other areas of their life. I've had some male clients sometimes that only want to date 10s but refuse to talk to, you know, whatever they decide a 10 is, but refuse to talk to anyone below that. And I have many female clients, strong, beautiful, powerful, career-driven women that can't necessarily see working the same way to get these mates. So the first thing I say is, you know, my coaching style is to make you the best version of yourself too. Almost self-betterment through the lens of dating. And I know that sometimes that annoys people because they want the perfect equation. They want just the right tips. They don't want to work on themselves. They just want something to do that's going to work for them. But the first thing was to gather life experiences. And you need to learn who you are. You need to learn who and what you like. And you need to gather things to talk about. Basically, I caution, would you date you? You know, we're all looking for amazing people. We all want to meet and date an amazing person. everybody feels the same way. So if someone approached you and talked to you, are you an amazing person? You know, that's something that only you will know, but it's up to us to make sure we get that to a yes, absolutely. Another is to be a sponge to other people. Listen to their others' experiences, ask them about their lives, be interested in the world as it works. Because people are always drawn to people that have an innate curiosity about life or about them specifically. And one of the things I focus a lot with on my female clients is refocusing on fun, reconnecting with fun. Because what is dating supposed to be? It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be. I know that sometimes it doesn't feel like it is. It can feel like a second job. It can feel like you get burnt out. But dating's supposed to be fun. So we really need to kind of reconnect to that area that we do something for fun just for fun's sake, not because it's going to benefit us in any sort of a way. Not, you're not going to join it because of this or that or the other thing. And a lot of times people have, I won't say they don't have no more joy, but they feel guilty if they're doing something that doesn't help them in some way without realizing the sacrifice that it's making to their psyche. When you do something that you enjoy, your body language opens up, you get more energy, you get excited, you're happy. And even if there's not somebody around you that you would consider dating, all of those people have brothers, friends, coworkers. And if you're this fun and dynamic person doing something that you enjoy, you become this person that they want to introduce their friends to. So you basically have won them over. Now you've got 10 people in your court trying to find you people. Just on the power of your own personality. Number four, be prepared to fail. It is one of the ways I equate it is that I think the best batting average of all time was a 369. And what that means is the best baseball player that's ever lived hit less than 6 balls out of 10 balls. So that means he failed way more times than he succeeded, and he was the best. So we need to, in the process of figuring out what we like and don't like, we need to make sure we get out there. And the way that I refer to it is get your bad out. Like get over these things. We all have this growing and learning time. So you need to kind of get out there and understand that each new step is going to lead you to the next one. They're necessary, you know. And when you get all the mistakes over with, you quickly will get to where you want to go. And then lastly is to put yourself into uncomfortable situations. No one saved the world or discovered treasure or won the championship by only doing what felt comfortable. In order to win big, you have to risk big, basically. You have to get out there. And that doesn't mean put yourself in unsafe places, but growth is uncomfortable. That is the nature of growth. If you're working out, you don't use the weights that don't hurt you. You use the weights that do hurt you, you know, that you have to struggle with it because that's what makes you build something. So you have to look at it the same way, and you have to find sort of a mental way to make it okay for yourself. Like when we work out, the act of it is physically painful, but we're attaching it to the future pleasure of how we're going to look, how we're going to be perceived, how we're going to feel. So if you, when you feel uncomfortable, learn a way to pat yourself on the back mentally and say, oh, good. I'm in a situation of which I'm growing now and expanding who I am. That's good. That can help you self-reward, which will make you want to go into more and more of those situations. Because at the end of the day, there's absolutely an element of luck to it. But what I say is luck favors the prepared mind. So if you have as much of these things going for you and you've worked at it and you've prepared yourself, spontaneity is all absolutely wonderful. Chemistry are perfect and wonderful. But you can also set the stage for those to find you much easier and to be much easier to develop. Mm. So that's the long answer on one.
That was amazing. There was so much there. And just a couple of things that I want to piggyback on and reemphasize that really stood out for me. It was all fantastic. But first of all, I love that you're bringing out this emphasis on fun, because I think particularly for those of us, myself included, who have been on a long journey to love, it can be easy to lose the lightness and the fun and the joy that is supposed to be a part of love, dating, and romance. It can become this heavy, heavy feeling because we don't want to waste our time. We don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to get tangled up with the wrong guy.
And so, yeah, I don't want to show up at my friends' weddings this summer and go through all these questions. And I'm just, there's dread involved sometimes.
Yeah. And so that creates this energy. The cross is being very heavy. And also we're like, kind of calculated in how we're doing things, and we're over analyzing every little thing that a guy says or does. We can't even relax and enjoy being in a conversation or on a date because we're sitting across from him thinking, what is he thinking? Is he the right guy for me? Does he like me? Do I like him? We can't even just be in the moment and relax into it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, when guys say or complain about the woman is bringing up kids and living together already, kind of somewhat exaggeratedly, what is happening too is that what you were just talking about is not being in the moment, thinking too far down the path or outside of what is actually happening at the time. And I know that men tend to live much more in the moment. And sometimes you have to let, you don't know what the future is going to bring. You just don't. So it's more important. The future is not going to happen without the present. And I know it's much easier to say than it is to do. And I understand you just can't flip a switch and not be anxious when you're on a date. But exactly like you said, you know, you have to focus on the moment. And then that moment will lead to another moment. And then hopefully that moment will lead to a series of moments. And then, you know, it's almost like a relationship or getting married is a side effect and of being this person and having fun and enjoying life. So
yeah, and like the relationship, meeting the right guy, is like having the icing on what is already a very beautiful and delicious cake, right?
Yeah, I hate that phrase, "you complete me," from Jerry Maguire.
I know.
It implies that you're not complete without another human being, and that just annoys me.
Yeah, and then another thing that I wanted to just piggyback on before we move on was this idea of what we might call visibility. You might be the most amazing woman out there, but if no one sees you because of your fears or because you're burned out on dating or whatever the case may be, then it's like the job analogy you were giving, you're unlikely to just be discovered. Sure, there may be a little bit of luck involved, but those your chances go way down. And so this idea of taking, I think you said, get your bad out, or taking what we might even consider to be imperfect action as you're figuring it out.
If you don't know which direction to move in, just move. Just move in general. You keep in motion. Motion breeds motion. The impetus stays with you. And it's much easier to move on from each of these little setbacks, if you will.
So now let's shift gears just a little bit and go a little bit into the hearts and minds of men, if we can. Now, I know when we're talking about men in this context, every man is an individual, but we're kind of talking about men in general.
Yeah, well, that's the tough thing with advice. Advice is all has to be somewhat generalized because we all fall somewhere on the spectrum. So yeah, everything, and that's even what I say in my advice articles is, listen, don't take anybody's advice from gospel, mine included, because this situation is going to be different from that situation. And this guy is going to be different from that guy. So yeah, but there's usually an area that, you know, Venn diagram that we all fall into.
Mm-hmm. So generally speaking, though, what do you see as what's going on in the hearts and minds of men when it comes to relationships? Now, when I ask this question, what I mean by that is, I think there's a perception out there that a lot of men are commitment phobic, or they're not really all that interested in a relationship. Maybe they're interested in sex, but not necessarily finding the right woman. And I know that there are men on this scale in all areas, but generally speaking, Do you think most men really care about relationships and want intimacy and want connection?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, that's, and it's just somewhat that the bad guys get the press, because looking at good, solid, marriageable men, it's not really exciting. They don't make the news. So you don't necessarily hear about them and know about them too, but it's human nature to want to be loved by someone and to give your love and to have that connection. Yes, of course, there's some people that just, they have no desire to have that, or asexual and things like that too. But also, men, like all human beings, are on their own journey of learning these things. And many times, guys that didn't get to explore serial dating at a younger age, it's now available to them, and they absolutely love it and want to explore it and not so much get it out of their system, but it's the first time that they've been able to explore all the colors and flavors that may be available to them. And in big cities, that can be tough sometimes. And then there are other guys that for some reason, you know, it kind of goes to the fun too. There's these old jokes from the, you know, in Spanish, the word for spouse is esposa, which is also the same word as handcuffs.
Really?
But there's always been this connotation of being tied down. Just even that expression of you losing something. You're losing freedom, losing the ability to be you. And the best relationships allow you to be more of you, allow you to do more things. I think, again, sometimes we think and see the bad relationships, the henpecked husband, or the guy that just has learned to shut up because none of his ideas are right, or things like that too. And that's not a good relationship, you know that? So they don't, but they don't, because they don't know any better. They don't know that they have other options, basically. I mean, even my wife said, when we gotten into relationships, once we got into relationships, she said, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten what a good relationship is supposed to be. Because you just kind of start taking everything as normal, and it doesn't necessarily have to be normal. So if you're not with someone that makes you feel excited to see them all every day, and you know, this doesn't have to be fireworks necessarily, but as you develop into mature love, that's the thing that everybody wants, and I think all guys are looking forward to that. Some are leery, because we know that gold diggers and however you want to refer to it, that area exists. We know that there are, you know, so sometimes successful guys get consciously or unconsciously keep a distance from women, because they might not know what they expect, or if they're trying to get trapped or things like that too. So all of these things come from the media, and it's unfortunate that we see a lot of these bad examples, but I think every guy's hoping, I mean, even I joke that all players, I mean, the point of being a player is to win the game. So they want to find, they want to cash out. They want to find that one that is just simply amazing. And I've seen it happen many times, but as growing up and in my social circle and around here too, is that they're excited to enter into the new aspect of life. Sometimes it just might not be with you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with them. It's just that the guys, they're just not a perfect match for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for women that have been through disappointment, heartache, divorce, whatever, have been shot through the trees a little bit in their love lives, and maybe hit a few branches along the way, and might be feeling a little bit gun-shy or scared, or it's been a while since they've dated. I know you've given some advice, but how does someone kind of like reboot or restart, or just kind of get some momentum again if it's been a while and they're really, really afraid of being hurt again or disappointed again?
Sure. This comes back to confidence, I think. And there are two different types of confidence. There's confidence, the typical confidence that we kind of speak about in the dating world. But then there's also confidence of self, confidence in who you are as a human being. If you have a successful job, you're confident at your job. A lot of times during this reset process, you've lost a little bit of confidence in yourself, mm-hmm. who you are as a person. And it's impossible to showcase yourself to the best of your ability to another if you can't do the same to yourself. So I think that changing patterns and creating new memories are the quickest way to enter into the new phase of your life. First of all, new experiences and new memories are helping create new pathways and synapses in the brain. They're choking out some of the bad memories and things. And you just start to, I mean, you're basically almost Pavlovian training yourself. You go do things, you have new experiences. This gives you adrenaline, this gives you dopamine. This creates new neural pathways, which makes you want to do them again. And that starts to just, you know, get the cobwebs off as you just start going out and interacting with people. You go out, buy yourself a new outfit, you know, something that you wouldn't necessarily do. Because I also like to work from what I call the worst case scenario. Go out and buy yourself a brand new outfit that's not something you would ever really wear before. What's the worst case? What's the worst that could happen? You don't end up with someone, which is where you are at the moment. So you literally, by definition, can't lose anything by trying something different. And sometimes when you try that something different, people react to you in a different way, which causes you to react in a different way, which and in these situations, anything new is really what starts that the self to come back out again, new dynamism, excitement, really starts to get those emotions running again. Because that's basically what we're trying to do, is rekindle your own emotional flames, get them out, get you have joy in things, get you to laugh again, smile, look forward to things. And then once you start doing that, then you've started to become that great self that you can offer. And this doesn't mean to hold yourself back until you're there. It's just a learning process. You know, you meet people along the way as well too. And I at least think that every person that I meet has something to teach me. And it's my job to figure out what that is. So anytime you're with anyone in any sort of an interaction whatsoever, you know, say to yourself after the interaction, like, what did I do right there? Because it's always important to congratulate yourself. And then what could I have done better? All of us, when we look back at the interactions of our day, could have been like, oh, I could have done that better. I shouldn't have said that. Or oh, I could have said that funny thing. Think about how you could have improved that. So that next time a similar situation presents itself, you have that neural pathway, you have that setup, you've actually already thought about that. And that way, if you can learn to self-analyze and self-correct like that, every interaction is a learning process. Every interaction, you exit it deeper, wiser, more interesting than you did before. And that just becomes an exponential process. And that curiosity gets deepened. And then you're the one that's exploring life and wonderful, that's catching everybody's eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard in the course of these summits, I've interviewed a number of men, and a number of them have commented on seeing a woman when she's joyful, passionate, out there doing things that she really enjoys, like lights her up from within, and it's incredibly attractive and appealing.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about here in part, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And like we're saying too, it's like sometimes we have put aside those things that bring us that joy. So sometimes you have to rediscover or pick up a new hobby or try something different that just kind of shakes it up and gets you out there and allows that facet of yourself to come forward.
Mm-hmm. So this might also be part of what we're talking about when you say get the bad out too.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting into doing those things that make you feel alive again or passionate or joyful or just fun. It's a way of kind of moving through or getting the bad out, getting that kind of out of the way.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
So what about for women that have dated online? I don't know what your theories are on online dating or what your advice is, but one of the common challenges or complaints that I hear, particularly when I talk to women for the first time, is they feel like they've been out there online for a long time without any really real success. They get the spammers and the fraudsters and the guys that are 20, 30 years older or 20 years younger or whatever, and they don't really feel like they're having any success. What would you say about that?
So we could talk 2 days on that subject. So I'll try to condense. Yes, I absolutely believe and want my clients to be online. It's one more forum of many, mm-hmm. one medium of multiple that you should use to meet new people, friends, family, work, online, social circles, bars, whatever it is. It's no panacea that's going to solve everything instantly. And yes, because it comes sometimes from a bit of anonymity, there can be a higher percentage of unique individuals that they come across. But online dating is basically like going to the gym. Everybody walks in there and you have a pretty okay idea of how to use all of the equipment, but no one's ever really taught you how to use it the best. So you're not getting the best out of it. And sometimes if you use a piece wrong, it can actually end up hurting you more so than actually helping you. So it's sort of the same way with the online dating, in that if you seem to be attracting all of the wrong people, if you seem to not be getting responses from the people you like, you know, there's something that needs to be tweaked in there. There's some formula that hasn't quite been set up. So one, the online dating shouldn't ever really be static. Experiment with them. Try pictures of yourself in different colors. Try different types of photos. Try describing yourself in different ways. See what happens. Look at it as a game. You know, what can I say that's going to, have the most effect? Because part of a lot, you know, one of the things I heard from one of my clients that stood out with me said, I think the thing I'll take away the most out of this is how to identify at the beginning those you're not going to waste your time on. And dating is not just about finding the right person, attracting the right person, it's cost benefit analysis. Learning how to identify those people that are not going to be right for you and weed them out so that you're not putting extra time and effort into them. So I would say just don't respond to anybody that doesn't at least seem to have read your profile and have something to comment on. You need to focus on the ones that at least seem to be taking the time to focus on you. Do not go to guys that are not putting any effort whatsoever in, or the bare minimum, or when the date comes, they want you to come to them. Most guys look for the lowest amount of work that they have to do, the lowest common denominator, so to speak. And that is whatever you let it to be. And it's sort of your job to not let us as men get away with shit. So
say a little bit more about that.
What you sure. Men, for the most part, are looking to put the least amount of effort into something. It just makes me think of the Al Bundy from Married with Children, just sitting on the couch with their hand down their pants. They don't want to do a lot of effort in life or in their love life if they don't have to. These are where those booty calls come from. Like, I had a girl back in the day that literally booty called me without ever meeting me. This was back when MySpace had our phone numbers on it, and started a little, phone call, booty call relationship, and then complained to me that I never took her out on dates. I'm like, do you understand? You started how we interact. So the guy is looking for how much energy he has to put in. You need to let him know that he needs to put a lot of energy, not a lot, don't be, high maintenance, but he needs to put his energy into it. He needs to make sure that you need to make sure that he is in it. So no just going straight over to his house, no, going to somewhere that's near him. He wants to see how much work you'll do. And then once you've kind of set up the parameters of how much work you're willing to do and how less you're letting him to do, that is now your standard. It is much, much harder to break out of that once those lines have sort of been laid down than it is to just establish them straight off the bat. Mm-hmm. And there's a great book that I recommend called Why Men Love Bitches. And it's kind of a tongue in cheek book, but basically men don't want someone that's going to cater to their every whim. Men don't want something that's like, whatever you want. We want someone that has their own opinions and thoughts and knows exactly where their line of self-respect is and what they deserve. And it makes us better men when we have that as well, too. And it does not have to be in any sort of confrontational or yelling or nagging sort of a way. You know, if you contact, she's like, on a Friday, you know, you haven't heard from him for a week online, and he mentioned something about going out for the weekend. And then on Friday afternoon, he's like, so you want to go out tonight? No, I'm not your backup. I'm not, you know, and you'd be like, oh, so sorry. I'm out doing all those things that I have fun doing on my own already. I would have loved to, but next time you're going to need to get me at least like 3 or 4 days in advance. That just lets him know, it sets the stage. You are not available at the drop of a hat. You are worth putting some time and effort into it. And here's another thing that women have to learn. We all have to learn as human beings, but speaking to you lovely ladies, if he doesn't call you back, that's awesome. That's great, because you just weeded somebody out that you could have ended up emptying emotion and time and money and all sorts of stuff into. So like, we have to have that neural pathway that congratulates yourself when you're in an uncomfortable situation. Same thing with this. You need to figure out a way. Yeah, of course it's going to sting a little bit, but you have to teach yourself that that's a good thing, that you found out right off the bat that that person isn't going to be good for you. It lets you find the next person that much quicker. So it's great if you find out, oh, that person didn't want to put that much work into it. Fine. We all deserve someone that is going to put the time and effort into it, that is going to earn us. And on that same thing too, ladies, don't just sit there passively and wonder why the guy of your dreams is not contacting you. You need to be taking control of your own destiny as well too. You need to be get out there. If nothing more, you have to need wink and poke and, you know, whatever, to let the guy know that you're interested. But by all means, go ahead and message people as well too. That does not mean that you're going to now do all the work. That does not mean that you're going to have to plan all of the dates. It just means you're setting up the stage to let him know that you are interested in him and letting him see what he's now going to do with that information as well too. But if you're not taking an active part of this too, you know, you lose some of the rights to complain about how it's going, because I guarantee you those dream guys are not sitting at home waiting for people to contact them. They are out contacting others. So you need to get out there and get dirty.
Yeah, I think it's kind of creating an opening and then seeing if the guy takes that step into the opening.
That's it. Yep, and, that's it.
It doesn't mean that a woman's going to do all the heavy lifting. In fact, you and I don't recommend that, but it does mean creating an opening and seeing if the man steps into it. And I also love what you said about if a guy doesn't call you back, that's great news for you, because I too believe a big part of being with the right guy is not being tangled up with the wrong guy. And the wrong guy can even be a really nice guy, but if he's not stepping up and if he's not moving toward you, or maybe
and the wrong guy might even be the right guy for someone else. He might be a great guy, just not your right guy, you know.
Exactly. Well, this has been a really fun, juicy conversation, Hunt, and I appreciate your wisdom and your sharing and your passion for this, and I know that it's going to help a lot of the ladies. And I know that You mentioned your website already, huntforadvice.com, but I want to invite the ladies, if you'd like to stay in touch with Hunt or read some more of his work or columns, you can go to his website. The link will be below this video or audio that you're listening from. Do you have anything else you want to say about your website, Hunt, before we go on from there?
I mean, first, just come there. I've got, 60 or 70 of some of the articles that I've written up there that covers all sorts of bases, both for men and for women. And not only do I think it's important for women to read advice written about women, but I think it's important for women to read advice that's written about men. Because it's important to learn the things that they struggle with, the challenges that they're looking for, and some of the things that you might not even realize that come into play too. And it makes you, if you will, more of an educated consumer of the dating world.
Right. Yeah, and before we wrap up today, Hunt, I also just want to give you an opportunity to just leave us with one parting thought or last little bit of wisdom.
Sure. Basically, I have just realized that in order to, the most interesting people are the ones that have curiosity. And sometimes life has kind of taken some of those curious things about you. We all love people that seem to genuinely be interested in us. So trying to redevelop a little sense of curiosity, I think, is a great way of just kind of getting onto a new stage of life. So learn about a new subject, pick up a new hobby, go to a new place or talk to a new person. And it's really going to start giving you that impetus to make a lot of changes in your life.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that as our last thought to wrap up on. And ladies, I also want to thank you for being here with us. I hope you'll join us for more of the Man Panel. And in addition to checking out Hunt's website, make sure you check out the VIP package. You can scroll down on this page or go to themanpanel.com/VIP because I know there was a lot just in this interview and you're going to want to listen again and again. So check that out and we'll see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.